Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It stands and fits for our first back-to-back week episode. Wait, is this three in a row?
No. Second.
Yeah,
second.
First time that we're on back-to-back weeks for since like April, probably.
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's good.
We are back as of today.
Yep.
The countdown to football is at 10. Never mind. I'm not going to explain that.
So wake up tomorrow and it's less than double digits until Iowa State football.
Yeah, we'll hit the single digits. Writing about Brian Peavy for the countdown to kickoff today.
Nice.
This is the point when it got way harder to do the countdown to kickoff stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there's just, you would be surprised by how few really good players there are in the history of Iowa State football that wore a single digit number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It seems like there's been a lot more single digit numbers lately.
Well, I don't know
if that's just me.
It's like I could have done Alan Lazard for five, yeah. But I feel like that's kind of
Brett Meyer
definitely
maybe
could
for
do
seven.
Better. Yeah, I have Brett Meyer for seven.
I don't even know. Who for number one? Todd Blythe?
No, I haven't chose number one yet.
Okay.
I leave that one open because it's
kind of a big one.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
last one.
Sometimes maybe I'll do something a little different. Like not the same thing I've done before.
All right. Keep your eyes open for that then.
Still we're a week and a half out and I have no idea what I'm going to do.
All right.
So if you have any ideas, I would greatly appreciate any suggestions.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
Do you want to, I kind of put this on our,
I was going to say,
doc,
you put the rundown again together again today.
I did. So tell me a little bit about your first U.S. Bank Stadium experience.
It was actually awful. Okay, maybe not awful.
Because they lost.
Well, no, it wasn't even about that. If I had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, it would have been like a 5.
Okay.
But there's several reasons for this. One, the fact that it was the preseason.
Yeah.
Just like it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really any atmosphere.
But I think you kind of have to know that going into it, though. You can't really hold that against it.
Well, no, I'm not holding that against it, but I'm saying
In general,
because of the fact that it was the preseason.
Yeah.
I think that this contributed to some of my other things I'm about to say.
Okay.
Beer's like $10 there.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Dude, in every NFL stadium, it's that expensive.
When the hell are the Vikings going to get their go to the fan-friendly pricing like some of these other teams?
I know. I mean, if I remember right, like one of the things I bought when I went to the Vikings game last year was like you could get two hot dogs and a soda for $20, which is ridiculously overpriced.
The story I'm about to tell you is about to make a lot more sense.
Okay.
So we get there. Game was at noon. And my buddy lives about half an hour away from Minneapolis. So we parked at the Mall of America and got on the light rail and rode to the stadium. We get there, obviously there's, people hanging out outside and stuff like that. So we hung out there for a little while. My first decision was I decided I wanted to get a jersey. I wanted a Vikings jersey.
Okay.
And I was thinking the whole time, I was like, I want to get someone who's going to be on the team for a while so that it's like worth my investment, you know?
Yeah.
Or, I mean,
it's they're not going to get traded and you're going to have an outdated jersey.
Yeah. So we get inside the stadium and we go to the team store and I find the jerseys. First of all, the line in the team store went from like the cash registers clear to the other side of the store, which was really kind of annoying because it was hard to get around in there. Hmm. But I find the jerseys, the replica ones that I look at.
They're like $100.
$190.
$190.
Yes.
Woo!
I was like, whoa.
That's like a paycheck, man.
Don't know about that.
Not paying rent this month.
I just sat back and leaned back. I showed my friend. I was like, yeah.
That's why you gotta
don't know how I'm gonna do about that one.
There's like some Chinese websites. You gotta go and find some cheap, high quality jerseys.
Yeah, AliExpress. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the plug.
Yep.
But then I looked at the actual the ones that are supposed to be the
game,
the game type jerseys.
Yeah.
Those ones were like $350.
And they're not even signed, are they?
No.
That's so expensive, dude.
Yeah. So you want to know what I did instead?
What'd you do?
I bought a Teddy Bridgewater jersey off the clearance rack for $15.
Dude, that's awesome. Was it a high quality jersey though?
No. I mean, it's one of the replica ones. It's not the ones that are in the actual like form of the game jerseys.
Okay.
But it's the next step down.
The tier
ones
down.
It's the $190 ones.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this rack and they've got Cordarrelle Patterson and Sidney Rice and just, I mean,
some throwbacks.
Like a who's who of dudes that it's like, oh my gosh, like why would anyone ever want this jersey? But I found a Teddy and I was like, hey, I don't have any problem with Teddy.
No, Teddy's a cool guy.
It's like one of those things where it's like, I wish it would have ended differently than it did.
Yeah.
But I can't be mad at him for leaving.
Definitely.
And I'm not mad at the team for letting him go. So I'm going to rock with it, you know?
It sounds like Teddy being on the Jets now, it sounds like he's possibly being traded at this point too.
Yeah.
Like they're shopping him around.
Everything that I've been listening to is he's a hot commodity on the trade market right now, which I think they should trade him now before they can.
Exactly. Because even though Darnold's looking all right with them right now, like who knows once they get into the real stuff.
Well, that, and I mean, if he doesn't play, you know, maybe his stock drops a little bit.
Yeah.
But right now, if he's playing well in the preseason, it's like, okay, this might be as high as his foul is ever going to be.
Yeah.
We'll just trade him off.
And wouldn't that be something? He, you know, gets off the Vikings, finally gets on the Jets, has a chance to start, and they draft a starting QB over him again, you know?
I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast the other day, and they were talking about this, and they were saying that they kind of feel bad for Teddy just because it's like, that would have been a good place for him probably where he would have had a good opportunity to play.
Definitely.
And then they went and drafted like the most talented player that the Jets have ever have drafted before.
Yeah.
But they're saying that, you know, depending on what ends up happening with this Jameis stuff, maybe that would be a place that they could.
That's true.
That he could potentially go.
That'd be a good landing spot for them. There's a lot of talent down there.
The other one they said was the Jaguars.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can really trust Blake Bortles.
That's your Blake Bortles insurance policy.
Yeah. That'd be a great insurance policy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams out there
if they have the cap room, then why the hell not, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, okay, so this isn't even my story that I was supposed to try and be telling.
Back to reality.
But back to Saturday. So I get my jersey. We find our seats, which were good seats, and we're hanging out and stuff like that, and the game's going, and it gets to a point where I was just like, man, I need to eat some food. So I go and get in this line at the concession stand that's right underneath our seats.
Mm.
I stood in line for half an hour.
Really?
Almost half the first half. I get up to the register, finally. I said, I want some chicken strips. Chicken strips were like $10, too. Everything was $10.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah.
I order the chicken strips. The guy looks at me. He's like, oh, bro. He like kind of whispers to me. He's like, nah, you don't want to do that. I was like, why? He's like, I'm just trying to save you some frustration. Apparently, they were super backed up on the chicken strip orders. I don't know. It's the preseason for everybody.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, what do I want? He was like, I don't know, like a cheeseburger or something. So I didn't want vegetables on the cheeseburger because I could see from the picture there was like lettuce and tomatoes, and I just didn't want that. He's like, yeah, I got you. He brings me the cheeseburger back. It's in a box. I walk away, open it up, and it's got the vegetables on it. So I go to the nearest trash can. At the trash can, I'm holding the box in one hand while trying to like scrape this stuff off into the trash can. As I'm scraping it off, the burger falls off the bun into the trash. So not only did I wait in line to not get what I even wanted to begin with, the thing that I did get.
You didn't get.
I didn't get to eat because it fell in the trash. So I slammed the box down the trash. I slammed the bun down the trash.
Oh, man.
And I was so angry. I'm texting my buddy. I'm like, man, I'm about to lose it, bro.
That's a terrible start to your first U.S. Bank Stadium experience.
So instead, after spending $10 on a cheeseburger that I didn't eat, obviously being a red-blooded American male, there was only one option.
You had to drink yourself.
I had to go and grab two more beers.
Yeah.
but I got back up to the seats, and then we're kind of just sitting there, and the game was so boring. Those offenses both played so bad.
Yeah.
And when the first half ended, we kind of looked at each other. It's like,
do we really want to be here right now?
Do we really want to stay here that much longer?
Yeah.
So we got back on the train and left before there was going to be a rush or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I don't think the reason you would have stayed late would be to see if Lazar got any significant catches or anything.
Yeah,
that, he did.
No, he didn't hardly even play.
Yeah. Like, he got on special teams, I'm pretty sure I read, but other than that,
yeah,
nothing.
It was kind of weird because Bortles played the whole first half. So then, I mean, I think Tanner Lee and Allen and them, like, played a little, very, very little bit in the beginning of the third quarter, and then the next group of guys were the ones that played the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So honestly, I was expecting like a it's all great sunshine and rainbows kind of update from you, but here I get this old went through the mud, you know.
I mean, it was
disappointment.
Still, obviously, it was still fun. It was a good experience because it was cool to go and see the stadium.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful stadium.
Right, and I've only ever been to like that's the first stadium I've been to besides the Chiefs.
Mm.
I've been to Arrowhead a couple times, but I'd never been to anywhere else. So this was my first NFL game outside of Kansas City.
Gotcha.
So that was cool, you know, but it was still there. Like I said, it was preseason for everybody.
Yeah.
During this day.
That's the thing. Maybe you have
to. It was just very disappointing.
You'll have to sneak away on a Sunday and get the real experience. Maybe it'll go better.
Yeah. I probably won't be able to find tickets for $13.
No.
On a real Sunday, though.
Probably not. $50 would probably be the best you'd got there.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Very rarely occasion.
Right.
Like, that's the best case scenario.
That might even be a stretch if it gets late in the season and they're not playing very well.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was fun. It was great.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
But I got a $15 jersey out of it.
Teddy Bridgewater jersey.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Yeah. But it was just, like, I just was laughing after I walked out. I was like, man, I walked in there intending to buy a jersey of someone that's going to be on the team for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I bought a jersey of a guy who isn't on the team anymore.
Yep. So you could say that, you know, they say bad things happen in threes. So you could say that number one was all the jerseys were way too expensive and you had to settle for a player that isn't even on the Vikings anymore. Two was you couldn't get chicken strips. Three was you got – well, I guess it's four because three is you got your order wrong.
Yeah.
And then four is you got your order dumped in the trash can on accident.
Instead, I had to settle – so then, like, after that, I was still hungry. Mm-hmm. And I walked all around just trying to find something to eat. The only line that was relatively short at that point that I wasn't going to have to wait in half an hour was for macaroni and cheese. And I
you got to be in a specific mood for mac and cheese.
Well, yeah, but it's like I love mac and cheese.
And it's $10 mac and cheese, too.
And it's also a freaking football game. Like, I don't go to a football game hoping to eat some mac and cheese, you know?
Yeah.
Man, it was disappointing. But now that I've gone on a 10-minute rant about why I was disappointed by the Vikings preseason game that
Getting
I went to.
The pod started off on the right foot.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you lead this. You're taking the reins today.
Well, this is just a quick Iowa State football topic before we get into other things. So Mike Warren was reported as getting reps at safety last week.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Burch is the first one to scoop it.
Mm-hmm.
So in your opinion, is this good news or is this a gimmick?
I mean, I wouldn't really put it in either category.
Okay.
Honestly. I don't think that this means – okay, I'll say this first. If we see Mike on the field – playing safety, nothing against Mike. Things have gone very, very awry at the safety position.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I'll say, unless he's like Ed Reed or something like that. Secondly, I mean, Mike was working out at running back when we were at the non-padded practice 3 weeks ago. So it's not like he's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, it's not like he got asked to do this in spring ball and he's had a whole offseason to get himself in shape.
And that's what I said on the forums. There were some people on there talking about it. And
because it's really easy to look at it and be like, oh, this is the next Joel Lanning making the switch from offense to defense.
Yeah. And the thing that you got to remember in that situation is that Joel had a whole offseason playing the linebacker spot before he moved.
Hmm.
Or, you know, before they ever even played a game. Mike played running back until like last week.
Yeah.
And even then, I think that I'm not certain that he's like completely switched over. At least that's how it was the last that I knew about it.
Yeah.
What I will say though is I would not be at all surprised to see Mike more heavily involved in special teams.
Mm.
As, you know, being
like a gunner or
being
something.
On a punt team or something like that. And maybe this is a situation where they're preparing him for that, because if you're playing running back, you're not going to be
working on tackling or anything,
tackling practice or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how I viewed it. That's how a lot of the other people that I was talking to about it viewed it.
Mm.
Like I said, I'm not saying it's good, it's bad, it's a gimmick. I think it's just
it is what it is.
I think the jury's still out, and I wouldn't get too excited about any of it at this point.
And I saw this, and I didn't really care enough to look. But do you happen to remember? When he came out of high school, did he play safety?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
No.
I kind of want to go back and look now. I just thought of it, but.
Yeah, I don't remember. No.
Okay.
And then, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where obviously he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And if it's like, if we can find a way to get a good athlete out on the football field, we might as well try.
So here's a follow-up question. Knowing that he is working out there, would you assume that the only time we see him actually get in there at a game would be if we're like blowing out Kansas in that kind of scenario?
I have no idea, because like I said, I'm not certain how deeply he is into making that switch.
Yeah.
I think that Tommy wrote that he hadn't even been in like in meetings. I think that's what Hickok told him. You know, okay. I think maybe it had just been like out of practice. It was just trying it out.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure how deep this thing went, you know, and it's not anything that anyone should get too worked up over. Right. I will say that for sure.
Well, that's a good way to close out that, I think.
If I'm wrong, you know.
Maybe he'll
like
made
I said,
it.
That must mean that Mike's a way better safety than what I believe
that's
he was.
Right.
Or things have gone very awry.
Maybe he's the next coming of Harrison Smith, and he's going to go out there and be an All-American for us this year. You never know.
Yeah, this is why. Don't do that. Don't do that.
All right. Because people will take it for face value.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
All right, so since Iowa State is getting back into session with class this week, I figured we could do some things related to Iowa State, some of our favorite and least favorite things.
We're like in that position where we're not too old to where like everything's changed.
Yeah.
You know?
I still go back to Lincoln Way and think, wow, that looks way different from when I was in college. But
yeah.
At the same time, like I can still, it's still fresh in the memory.
Right. Well, there's things that when I go up there, it's like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But most everything is the same,
yep.
Or at least pretty close to being the same.
Mm.
All right. What's our first one?
So first one, I didn't realize we're going to do all these things. So I might take a little bit of thinking about these, but let's do favorite and least favorite classes at Iowa State.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
My favorite class was probably, I don't know, intro to news writing was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Obradovich was my professor,
mm-hmm.
who was the longtime political columnist for the Des Moines Register. There was a...
Did you take any fun elective classes?
No. Oh, no. I took a screenwriting class, but that one was kind of weird. The professor was, he's a little out there.
Gotcha.
I don't remember what his name was even. And I remember one of the things that I wrote, I just got eviscerated
really?
By my classmates. They took it way more seriously than what I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was the kind of thing where you had to present it and then they critiqued you?
Yeah, it was all like in, like in groups where you had like a group with two other people
yeah.
and then they each gave you their thing and then you read it and then gave them some notes.
So you must have been with some hard butts then.
Yeah. No, you can say that word.
Okay.
No, I remember reading theirs and I didn't like criticize them deeply or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then we took it in and I'm like talking to them about it and stuff. And then they go over mine and they just are crushing me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I didn't know we're taking it seriously.
See,
like that.
I always try to be the group member, like where I'll make good points, but I'm not gonna like lay into you if it's that bad.
Well I didn't feel like it was that bad.
No,
you know, that's why I was like,
yeah.
The way they were just crushing me, I was like, man, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's like the next great American film or anything like that, you know, but.
And screenwriting is different than like news reporting and everything. But at the same time, I feel like writing in general is pretty universal.
Yeah. But the difference is that these people were like making short films and stuff on the weekend.
Oh.
And
so they were hardcore.
And I was taking the class because it was like, I need another class. And
to fit this credit.
And this sounds kind of interesting, so I'll just take it.
Yeah.
My least favorite class was actually one of the first ones I took at Iowa State. It was Agronomy 206.
Really? So why were you in Agronomy 206?
It was meteorology, like for agronomy majors.
Okay.
And this class was intense, dude. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I was in there like, you know, I'm staying up till 10 a.m. studying or anything like that. But of all the classes that I took at Iowa State where it was like I would go into a test and sit there and sit down and be like, I have no idea what's going on in this class.
Yeah.
You know? And I just remember getting done with it. I passed. I think I got like a C or something like that. And it was my first ever huge lecture coming from Simpson.
Yeah.
I remember sitting down in there and it was in the lecture hall in Curtis and there's like 250 kids.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look around. It's like, man,
I'm getting swallowed up by all these people.
Right. It's like, man, we're not in the lecture hall at Carver in Indianola anymore.
Mm.
It was it was a crazy class. I knew like after 2 weeks that I'd made a huge mistake.
Mm.
But I got through.
Yeah, there you go. You're still alive today.
Yeah. I just remember after the semester ended, I went in and had the meeting with my advisor. Shout out to Jason. and he was like, why the hell did you take this class? And he had just gotten to Iowa State.
Yeah.
So I'd had a different advisor when I transferred. And I was like, well, she told me that I had to take it. He's like, no, you didn't have to take it.
So it's probably the thing where you could have taken other classes to fit those credit requirements.
Yeah, I ended up taking two more half semester meteorology classes later on.
I wonder if she was buddies with the meteorology department or something.
I have no idea, but I just remember sitting down in that class and they were talking about crops and like rain patterns and all kinds of stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I thought we were just going to like learn about the different kinds of clouds and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like what causes a tornado? And
I gotcha.
It was way, way deeper than I ever needed to go.
There you go.
And after all of that, don't think I could tell you one thing that I learned in it.
Well, obviously you got through it though.
Yeah, I got through it. All right. What was your favorite?
All right. So, I'd say for material we covered, I think my favorite class was History of Rock and Roll.
Okay.
I took that after taking, Music 102, which I think is like introduction to music listening or something like that.
What was your degree in?
It was journalism.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was fun. Tests were a little bit hard, but it was fun just to, you know, sit in class and listen to rock and roll all day, basically. And then like in my major, I would say like any class I had with Erin Wilgenbusch. I don't know if you had her. She's awesome.
Yeah, I had her for one class.
I had her for JLMC 101.
I had her for that too.
102. My second semester, I think. And then I had her for JLMC 202, I think, as well. And so she was awesome.
I think I had her for like 220. Mm. It was like intro to public relations or something like
that.
And
like basically like a lot of my good and bad memories from classes at Iowa State hinged a lot on the professor. Like the professor was awesome. Like I was in one of the last sections of that Barbara Mack ever taught. Mm-hmm. Like rest in peace. She was the bomb. Like just going to her class every day was like a comedic routine, almost that kind of thing. And it just made it much more enjoyable to actually go, which was great.
My law class that I had like the first year after that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was three grades. You took two tests. One of them was dropped, and then you wrote a paper.
Yep.
And that was it. Mm. It was super easy. Mm. And I was just like, wow. I always had heard that this class was super tough. I don't think it was very tough. But
and I bet she might have done it differently.
Yeah. It was the guy's first time ever teaching the class, like I said.
Yeah.
But.
So anyways, like I said, the professor hinges my opinion on classes a lot. So I would say that my least favorite classes were all bad professor related. One, I think that stuck out to me most, it was like math 151. And it was like the most basic math, like algebra that you had to take.
Yeah.
Cause I started out in the business college and you had to take math, to satisfy those requirements. And this class was in the lecture hall in the basement of Carver. I don't know if you've ever been there before.
Yeah, that's where I took statistics.
Okay.
Or wait, no, that might've been in Ross. Okay. Yeah. So
but anyways,
never mind.
Big lecture hall in the basement of Carver, which already has like few windows. And so there's absolutely no windows. It's super warm in there. And the professor was extremely monotone in his delivery, and it's math. So it's like the perfect like combination for me to be completely bored and like just wanting to sleep in there.
Yeah.
So that was by far my least favorite class. And then basically any class where the professor's boring, I guess. But
yeah. I had some other, my stats class really sucked, but the teacher was like a grad assistant or something, I think.
Yeah.
I remember the lab that I had for that class was at like 7:30 in the morning, one time a week.
Yeah.
But it was like a 3-hour lab.
That's a tough one to get up for.
Well, I would consistently wake up and it would be 8:30. Mm-hmm. Or 8:45. So I would like hustle as fast as I could to get there. And all you had to do was fill out a worksheet. So if you filled out the worksheet, you got the participation points.
Gotcha.
So I would just
do that. And then,
yeah. I would just go and try and get there as fast as I could. And I think he got used to like the point where it's just like, he just hand me a worksheet when I walk in an hour late.
Yeah.
And I just sit down and do it. Everybody else would be in a group. I'm there trying to struggle through it on my own.
Yeah.
But
it got done.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Next topic. So we did our favorite and least favorite classes. How about your favorite and least favorite buildings on campus?
Favorite building probably was, Hamilton. would be right there, obviously. That's probably the one that I only, like, the only one where I just went and, like, hung out, besides maybe the Union.
Yep.
Or the library. I don't know. I'd say it's a tie between those three.
Okay. So how about least favorite? Do you have one?
Least favorite. There was one that I always got lost in.
Is it like Gilman or something like that? Gilman's a little
I think it might
screwy.
Be. Yeah. Yeah. I took a chemistry class in there.
Yep.
Yeah, that was definitely it.
Okay.
I took, like, the chemistry for stupid people.
Yeah. So Gilman's up there for me for my worst. I'll start with my worst since we just talked about those. My other least favorite was Ross. Just because it's very...
Very boring.
Very boring. Yeah, there's nothing unique really about it. It's just a big... it's a tall building. It's just very 80s.
Yeah.
And just boring.
I think that's another one where if you get off... Like, if you get off the elevator, like... Get
on the wrong floor.
Come out of the stairs on the wrong floor, you would never even realize it.
Yeah,
until you've walked around like five times.
Literally every floor is the exact same cookie cutter shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But for my most favorite, I did enjoy the business college building, Jardine, while I was in there. And then, like you, I liked the Memorial Union as well. Another place I liked to study was the basement of Curtis. They renovated that, I think, while I was there, and it was a good spot, too.
Yeah, I remember when they renovated it, but I only think I took, like, two classes in there in, you know, all those years. Yeah.
I always liked it because it's on my way from the Memorial Union to Hamilton. That was a place where I could stop, like, halfway.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the library. So I was kind of – I liked to walk. It didn't matter where I lived when I was there. I mean, I lived in West Ames at one point. Not, like, way out in West Ames, but, like, behind the Hy-Vee there. I lived at Freddy. I lived at the Grove. Like, I was not afraid to walk to class at any time. So then if that's what I did, a lot of times I would – in between my classes, I would just walk around.
Yeah.
And just like I had like a loop that I would make.
Yeah.
I knew kind of exactly how long it would take me to make this loop. So I like being at the library just because that was like kind of part of my walking loop.
Gotcha.
That I would make.
I do like the library because there are a lot of like little nooks and crannies that you can kind of just, you know, be and get some good quality study time in.
Yeah, I liked to go in the I can't even think of what they're technically called now.
I know. Well,
the subfloors. They're not the main area.
They're tiers?
Yeah, I think that's
or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was always super hot in there.
Yeah.
But there was always open desks in there, and there was always way more quiet than it was in the main area.
Definitely. Yeah, because they're out in the main area. There's those group tables, and then people are always working on group projects out there.
Yeah. I'll never forget that I was sitting in one of those tiers the first time I ever listened to Acid Rap by Chance the Rapper.
Nice. Good memories.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do favorite and least favorite place to eat on campus.
Favorite place to eat, UDCC.
Okay, so you're a normie.
Yeah. I never lived over there, but that's just...
It had probably the widest variety of foods for all the campus dining halls.
Yeah, that actually, okay, a low-key favorite place that I had, this is where I went all the time when I got older, was Storms.
Oh,
because
really?
I still had a.
Is that still there?
I think it's different now.
Okay.
I think it's still there though.
I have a feeling.
I know
they,
that building
they changed
still there.
It once or twice, even while we were there.
Yeah, but no, yeah, that I don't know why we stumbled onto that, but like my junior and senior year, that's where we would go if we were going to go on campus.
Yeah.
Except for breakfast on Sundays, we'd go to UDCC.
Mm-hmm.
But. Because that place was always, their food was not really any different than anywhere else, but it was always way less busy than all the other places.
Yeah. So for my favorite, obviously I have to give a shout out to Panda Express because, you know, everyone goes to Panda if you're at Iowa State.
Yeah.
At least once.
You're welcome for the free advertising, Panda.
There you go. I think out of all...
Panda's not even there anymore, is it?
I think it still is.
Okay, I don't know. I haven't been in the Union in a long time.
We'll have to confirm that or not. But my favorite dining hall, I lived in Lion Hall, which is part of Richardson Court.
Yeah.
So I went to Conversations a lot.
So you were a Convos person. Then.
Yeah. So it's like the I would say the least trafficked.
Convos late night bundles are low-key one of the great
those
things of all time.
As well as I was going to say, I don't know if they still do it or not, but you used to be able to get Godfather's Pizza meal bundles in Maple Willow Arch.
Like you could do it at Hawthorne too.
Not in Seasons, but like the little M Shop thing above. And those were delicious. I got those so many times.
You could do that at Hawthorne as well. Yeah. At Freddy. Nice. Hawthorne was all right. It could get really busy sometimes.
Because I used to go and get the chicken bacon ranch pizza on Wednesdays.
Okay.
It was delicious.
No, another place that is RIP to is the hot dog place in the like underneath of UDCC.
Yeah.
You remember that? In the little C store right there?
Yeah. Didn't they make burgers too, didn't they?
I think, well, that was the other, like the place next door.
Oh.
And then in that little, like the, what was that? Clyde's.
Yes,
you could
Clyde's.
Get burgers and stuff like that. Yep. And then there was the smaller room next door and they had like hot dogs and stuff. And you could you could get like,
I don't think I ever
like
went
pizza
there.
On them and like all kinds of stuff like that.
Nice.
I don't think they have that anymore.
Gotcha.
But we used to do that all the time too.
So I guess I don't really have a least favorite place to eat on campus. Like I would say, actually like the place I probably went the least was actually probably UDCC just because I lived
a little far away from there.
Yeah. When I lived on campus, I was on the east side of campus. So,
I liked the Union, but I don't know. It was okay.
The Union had that place with the chicken strips that I would go over now and then.
Yeah. Chester's Chicken.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, I can't even think of what other one I wouldn't really like.
Seasons,
I don't know. I wasn't really a huge fan of Seasons, I guess.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I usually would. Convos would have some weird stuff sometimes.
They did. They
didn't have near as many options.
They had like pita chips and hummus and.
Yeah.
One time they served sushi, so it was a little more of an alternative scene.
Right.
In Convo.
So. All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
We don't have to do that one.
No, we should.
Okay.
To round out our Iowa State section of this podcast, let's go with our favorite and least favorite place to take a dump on campus.
We need Iowa State campus dumping expert Chris Williams to chime in on this. I know he's talked about this a lot of times. Has he scooped the loop? Yeah, he. I don't know. He always told me that they had a competition to see who could poop in the most places. I think he's talked about that on the podcast before.
Nice.
But mine, probably there was a single bathroom in the basement at Hamilton. That was good.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like kind of around the corner. There's like the computer lab in a classroom right here, or like those two computer labs. And then there's like,
if you mention a single bathroom, is number one on your pooping priority that has to be like secluded?
It's very private. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get good privacy down there.
I would agree. Like, I think cleanliness is up there too, but I would much rather have a quiet place to take a dump than anything else.
See, and that's where it plays into my least favorite. There was a bathroom in Gilman that was it had like one urinal and one toilet, but it wasn't a single bathroom, you know? So like people would come in and it would just be like constant.
Yeah.
And that I didn't like that.
And that's
there wasn't enough peacefulness to it.
It's the same thing for me. Even though one of my favorite buildings, like I said, was Jardine, the bathroom in the basement, it would always have a bunch of traffic. So you can't really, you know, sit down there and have an enjoying, you know, session.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, other than that, I would say actually contradicting myself again, one of my worst favorite buildings, Ross, it had some quality bathrooms in there for seclusion.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like nobody really went in there.
No. That's the thing. Like once you go in Ross Hall, usually you want to get out.
Yeah.
But if you have to go poop in there, it's a okay experience.
If I had to create a power rankings of buildings where someone probably died on Iowa State's campus, that one would probably be up there. And it's not because someone killed them or anything like that. It's because they just got lost wandering around and they could never find their way out.
It would either be, I would probably agree with you there, either that or Gilman. Because like, have you heard like the stories about those like radioactive material underneath like the basement?
Well, yeah, that's
Gilman.
Where
they came up with the Manhattan Project.
I would say that's where they did their part of the Manhattan Project was like in a stairwell.
And there are still portions of that building, I'm pretty sure, which are like sanctioned off because it has too much radiation, I'm pretty sure.
I believe it. Isn't that where they learned how to like stabilize
uranium? I think so.
Uranium?
Yeah. So if you go in the basement of Gilman, I'm pretty sure there's some heavily marked off areas.
We probably just like butchered everything about the Manhattan Project, or at least I did.
I mean, this is all just me, like, maybe remembering urban legend kind of thing, too. So
I was telling Scott and my neighbor, Louise, who roasted me on the Fanatics last week. I just get on these rants sometimes. I mean, as you know. And They asked me some question. We were talking about Mid-America Field. Oh, because the power in like our whole neighborhood went out last week. Mm. And so we were talking about Mid-American. And then, we're talking about Mid-American Field. And Scott was asking why they changed it from Jack Trice. And I said they didn't.
Yeah.
I said that would be a bad thing if they did that.
Definitely.
And he didn't get the why. So he never heard the story. So I had to go through that whole thing.
Yep.
And then we started talking about all this other stuff. I told him about the computer. And
the Manhattan
Because they didn't
Project.
Know any of that. Yeah. And then we were talking about the Manhattan Project. And he didn't believe me.
Really?
I was like, man, I'm telling you. That's, why would I lie?
Yeah. Gonna have to go home and Google it. Yeah. See for yourself.
All right. We got anything else? Give me one tip for a freshman.
One tip for a freshman. You don't have to show your ID card to get on Orange 23 bus. I mean, that's like the thing. Like, you can always spot freshmen because of that and if they're carrying around a campus map.
Yeah.
But I feel
or
like...
Or wearing their red...
Their red Iowa State...
Yeah, their red sling bag.
Destination Iowa State sling bag.
So I wish we would have done this a week ago so I could say, don't go to Destination Iowa State.
Oh, 100%. That was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I remember being there in my... Because my roommate had gone to Iowa State the year before that. And I said to him, she's like, do I need to go to Destination Iowa State? He was like, no.
But did you end up going in anyway?
No. No.
Really?
I had better things to do.
See, I did go. And, you know, it was okay. I'm an introvert. I don't really like mingling. And that's kind of like the worst part of the entire thing is they make you be extroverted.
Yeah.
Like, meet people and all that stuff. So it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm kind of that same way. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't like to be forced to talk to people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll talk to you if we're in close proximity and it's just natural, but I don't like to be forced to do
it. I had a class, like, it was kind of different. We took a class at Simpson your freshman year, and it's basically like a freshman seminar. It's supposed to help you, like, get acclimated to the school and everything.
Yeah.
But they all had a different topic. Mine was about some murder, like, in medieval England. It was kind of goofy, but...
Wait. How does that tie into...
It's just because you had to learn the resources for the library, like all kinds of different stuff like that.
So it was kind of like a Library 160 kind of thing? I don't know. You probably didn't take it since you didn't go to Iowa State off the bat.
No, I had to take Library 160.
Oh, did you?
Everybody does, yeah.
Okay.
That class was a waste of time, too.
Oh, yeah.
No, but it was it just like tried to tie in like teaching you stuff about the school into some topic, and everyone was different.
Okay.
This you had to like list you got a list of all of the classes and then you picked your top three. I didn't even put that one on my list and I still got put in it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
But that's what they did was they sat there and I remember our first day that we were there, we had to play like all these icebreaker games. And it was with, like, a group of 15 people. I'm just like, man.
That's exactly like Destination Iowa State.
Well, yeah. And I knew that I wasn't going to have a problem, you know, making friends or anything like that just because I was on the basketball team.
Yeah.
And it was like I built in group
Big
of
man.
People that you already know from that. You
Big
know?
Man on campus.
No, it's not like that. But, yeah, that was
a waste of time.
The people in that class at that school are just so diverse, you know.
Yeah.
It's you get some...
Simpson gets quite a few people from outside of state, don't they?
Yeah, a fair number. My best friend's from Minnesota, the one that I went to the game with. He was my roommate my freshman year at Simpson.
Yep.
And I went to one of my teammates that year's weddings. He's from Minnesota, too. Mm-hmm. His wedding was up there last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good mix of guys for, like, people from just, like, all over the place.
Yep.
And then a lot of people from Des Moines and small towns as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a tip for freshmen at Iowa State? Obviously, I wasn't a freshman there. But just knowing.
Maybe something related to going to games. How about that?
Yeah. I will say... The one thing that I wish that I'd ever got an opportunity to do at Iowa State is I never once tailgated in the student lots.
Okay.
In 3 years that I was there.
Mm.
Because the first year, they were so bad that we didn't really go to many of the games.
Yeah.
We went to the first one, and...
Would that have been one where
that was
they lost
lost to Northern Iowa?
Okay.
We showed up like at kickoff and somehow ended up like in the fifth row. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of shenanigans that were going on prior to that.
Yeah.
Don't drink underage kids. But yeah, that's my one thing. Like okay. I wish that I would have had an opportunity to do that.
Go out and have some fun in the tailgate lots. Sure.
Don't just hope that you don't get if you work at the Iowa State Daily, you don't get stuck on the hockey beat. That's the other one.
There you go.
Nothing against Iowa State hockey, but that was not very fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on Stans and Fitz.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone and Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to Stans and Fitz. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our half an hour long trip down
memory lane
from our time at Iowa State to washed up guys in their mid-20s.
There you go.
Giving people advice when they're considerably younger than us.
That's right. We're old compared to them now.
All right, hot and not.
I think you should lead us off this week because you're transitioning from a little bit more related to what we were just talking about.
Yeah. So one of the things that is, it's an annual, I wouldn't say tradition, annual occurrence.
Yeah.
That the first week after the students get back to campus, the number of people that you see on Twitter and stuff like that complaining about traffic and complaining about how much longer it takes to do anything in Ames, they are hot this week because this is the students are back, school is back in session.
Yep.
And now anyone who is not affiliated with the college is considerably more hampered by the goings-ons there.
And I will say that I completely agree with this viewpoint. Like
I don't disagree with the
viewpoint. Oh, yeah, but
also never seen you partake in the complaining about it.
I'm pretty sure I tweeted about it either last year or the year before.
Of course you did.
Because I do work in Ames, but the nice part about me is that the place where I work is on the east, like the very east side of town.
Yeah.
So I can get off 35.
Don't have to go that far.
I don't have to go that far in. But if I ever go get lunch on Lincoln Way or anything like that while class is in session, it's so much worse than it is during the summer. It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree with any of... I'm not disagreeing with anybody's viewpoint about it. Yeah. It's just like...
It is extremely hot. You're correct.
It's one of those old man yells at cloud situations,
yeah.
You know?
Get off my lawn kind of thing.
Right. It's like, how long have you been around here? Did you really think that it was like that all the time when there wasn't 30,000 people in the middle of the town?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, my first couple years at Iowa State, I went home and worked during the summer. But after my sophomore year was the first summer that I spent in Ames, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's so much more
peaceful
and less trafficked, for sure.
Yeah. It feels more like what the town is
built to be.
Yeah. You know?
And that's the thing. Ames infrastructure is built for a town of 30,000. It's not built for a town of 60,000.
See, and that was something that was really interesting to me about my last couple of years there. Was because that was like kind of when everything blew up,
mm-hmm.
You know, where it jumped from being in the mid-20s to all of a sudden being in the mid-30s for enrollment.
Yeah.
And I think you could just tell, like, so I was there my sophomore, junior, senior year. Junior year got a little bit more crowded. And then my senior year, I remember walking around. It's just like, geez, there's so many more people around here than I remember there being.
I remember, like, for one of those years, the campus bus, the 23 Orange, it was so much more crowded. Like, you had to wait and watch a couple buses full of people go by.
Yeah, they had to add buses, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the campus was not ready for that much more population.
Nothing was. I mean, I remember being in the Union and just the lines and stuff like that you had to wait in, or like at UDCC, everywhere you went, it was crazy.
And for one of the years I was there too, I remember they had a bunch of people hold up in like the meeting rooms of dorms too.
Yeah.
Like all the dorms were at capacity and they had to, you know, whatever they're not called meeting rooms, but something else.
The common areas.
Common areas, yeah. They had to convert those into dorms just to accommodate all the extra students.
Did you see that stuff at Purdue? Where
yes.
There was the, yeah.
Those, yeah. I mean, the first picture I saw, it was like an image where it was cropped pretty well, where I could only see like, looked like a regular dorm room.
Well, that's what I thought too. I looked at that and I was like, man, that makes my dorm room look like a...
Yeah.
Or that, my dorm room made that look like a mansion.
Exactly. But then I saw that, hey, oh, it's an open dorm room. It's like, it's probably 20 yards long and it's got like
people in cubicles.
Yeah. In cubicles for dorms, which is a little bit invasive.
Yeah. That would not be ideal.
No.
My dorm room, my freshman dorm room, I don't know if I've told you this story before. You could like stand on in the middle and I could like touch both walls.
Really? Was it a single or a double?
It was a double. I lived in a different one with two other guys. Mm-hmm. There was three of us to start the year, two of my teammates. And then I started to become friends with my friend now, Leif. And we decided we wanted to move in together. So we went to the building on the other side. There's two freshman buildings. We went to the other one. Mm-hmm. And when the guy who was like the head of housing took us to see this room, he stood outside the door and he's like, I'm just gonna let you guys know before I open the door that we deemed this room uninhabitable. Like, I'm not gonna tell you can't live in here. He's like, but this is gonna be like, you know, it's small.
Yeah.
And he opened it up and it was literally like a closet.
So you were like Harry Potter living under the staircase kind of thing.
Yeah. And it took us a long time to figure out how to best utilize the space. But when we first moved in there and we had beds on each side, the walkway was like half of this table. Mm-hmm. And that's, you could just walk straight to the other wall. And that was about it.
Jeez.
There was no room for activities.
That's tiny.
Yeah, it was awful.
So was there bunk beds in there then? Is that like, since it was so tiny?
What we actually ended up doing, so originally we had both our beds lofted. The other thing is that the ceiling was slanted because we were on the third floor. So, and over the top of my bed was an air conditioning unit. So I would lay in my bed and my head would be about like this far.
So like 8
from
inches.
An AC unit.
Yeah.
And then it would be about like right here is where the ceiling would start to slant.
Okay. So like 2 feet in front of you.
Yeah. So I had to be very, very cautious getting in and out of my bed.
So if there was ever like an alarm in the middle of the night, you couldn't like jolt up and
because
you'd hit your head.
Yeah. I'd hit my head and fall out of the bed. That was like 7 feet in the air.
Yeah.
But eventually what we ended up doing was, this was after like three different ways of trying to figure out how to do this. We moved like all the desks and stuff to one side and we just kind of like lined them up. Mm. And we put one bed all the way at the top. And then my roommate's bed was like about halfway to where he had pretty good space right there. And then my mattress was on the floor underneath his. And then so we, like, our beds were kind of like bunk beds, but it was like I had a little cave and we hung a blanket like off the bottom of his. And then I would close that down. And that's just, I would have like my own little hole underneath the,
so you were,
underneath both beds.
You were roughing it there.
Yeah. It was something else, man. Let me tell you.
So no wonder you guys became such good friends.
Well, that's what we were talking about the other day, because I had to meet his girlfriend. I had to give his girlfriend my approval before
naturally.
She could actually be his girlfriend, and which she did get approval, by the way.
There you go.
But we were talking. She was like asking us all these different questions about how we became friends and stuff. Mm. And I was like, really? There was basically two options. We were either going to come out of that year really hating each other because we'd lived so close to each other for so long.
Yeah.
Or we were going to be best friends. And, you know, it just went a positive way. I don't know how, but somehow it did.
I'm glad it turned out that way as opposed to the alternative.
Yeah. All right. So now that we went on that tangent, what's your hot this week?
My hot this week, completely going off what the rest of this podcast has been about. Jumping into Major League Baseball again. Edwin Diaz. I don't know if you've ever heard or seen or watched him before. He's the closer for the Seattle Mariners. And if you didn't know already, he's quietly on pace to contend for the Major League Baseball all-time record for saves in a season. So the record for saves is 62 in a single season. That was done by Francisco Rodriguez for the Angels in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then, so this year, Diaz just picked up his 48th save on Monday night in the Mariners' 126th game of the year. And for comparison's sake, K-Rod got his 48th save in the Angels' 125th game of the season back in 2008. And then additionally, what makes Diaz so good beyond his saves total is that he's been even better statistically than K-Rod. So Diaz has a 2.03 ERA compared to K-Rod's 2.24 ERA. Diaz has 0.774 whip compared to K-Rod's 1.288 whip, which is, you know, the lower you are, the better. Plus, this is what I think is super awesome. In just, you know, like three-fourths of the season so far, Diaz already has 107 strikeouts, and for the whole 2008 season, K-Rod had 77. So he already has 30 more strikeouts in much less games. So I think that's pretty awesome. And I think that if Diaz was doing this for the Yankees or for the Red Sox, like, this would be like a huge story. But since he's doing it for the Mariners on the West Coast, like, no one really knows what's going on.
Really digging deep today, huh?
I am. Like, and I must admit, the reason I'm so pumped about Edwin Diaz is because I have him on my fantasy team.
It's mid-August on a college sports podcast, guys, if you can't tell.
But it's got to be something, like, if you're a casual baseball fan, it's something that you can keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Like, Diaz is going for history. So I think that's pretty cool, and he's my hot of the week. You might not have any comments. It might just be...
My only comment is we're digging deep this week.
I'm apparently in my own bubble over here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I got on and read that, and I was like...
Yeah, I know. Really digging deep, right? So, all right, let's go on. You're not for this week.
My not for this week. I haven't even told you what this was. So I got a direct message from a listener yesterday. It was a video of some group of guys named the Try Guys. No idea who that is.
I know of the Try Guys. I've seen their videos before.
They made a video ranking bad beer.
Did they?
Yeah.
So did they do
the,
like,
Try Guys are my not this week
for copying us,
for taking the bad beer segment away,
copyright
from,
infringement
from Stans and Fitz.
We should,
which I actually planned on bringing a bad beer today in honor of that, and then I forgot.
Well, that's okay. In we'll have a imaginary bad beer right now.
Yeah.
Gulp. Yeah. All right. But did you watch the video? Like, which beers did they review?
No, I didn't want to watch it. I think they...
You didn't want to give them a view, which they so eagerly want?
Yeah. Well, they had, like, 2 million views. Yeah, this video has 1.7 million
views.
Yeah,
they're pretty well known.
I definitely know who these guys are. Okay, the beers... Here, they're about...
I just want to know what the beers are.
All right, we've got Michelob Ultra, PBR, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light, Rolling Rock, and... something that I can't see that's in his hand. So they didn't go very deep for their bad beers.
They didn't. Like, I think we've tried maybe two or three of those, but I think the other ones that we...
Rolling Rock, I think we did.
Rolling Rock, and did we do any of theirs? Maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
Didn't we do PBR? I think we did PBR.
Maybe. I think we did. Yeah.
So those two at least. But the others we conveniently avoided just because they're so mass produced.
Well, they're just like common American beers to me. Like, if someone handed you a Bud Light, it's like, okay.
Exactly. It's a standard beer.
I mean, even if someone hands you a Miller Light, you know, much to the chagrin of Ted Flint, you're probably still going to drink it.
Like, it's one of the I would say, big four beers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because you think Coors Light, Bud Light, Busch Light is here in Iowa. And Miller Lite, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then anything beyond that, like if you got handed a Keystone, that's a little bit more of a pull. And if you got handed a Natty Light.
You can buy a Keystone for $9 for a 15-pack.
I mean, okay, again, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
But it's not like the big beer, you know?
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Like, you don't see ads for Keystone Light.
The rumor is that Keystone is the beer that... like, comes out of the cans that get damaged from Coors Light.
Really?
Yeah. I was reading that on the internet one day.
That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
No, not one bit. I was going to say something else.
Something about bad beer?
Yeah, it was. I can't... Oh, no. Mick Ultra is, like, not one of the, you know, top... I wouldn't put that as, like, one of the main beers.
No.
But there is a faction of the country that considers that to be a fancy beer.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and that's the beer that had Chris Pratt in their Super Bowl commercial, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you have a Super Bowl commercial, you're not you're not on the same level as the beers that we were reviewing.
No, yeah, definitely not. No, this is no Bud Ice or like anything like that. Yeah,
those are super bad.
Yeah, no, I remember Crazy Neighbor Scott. It always comes back to Crazy Neighbor Scott. I think my friend had brought a 12 pack of Michelob Ultra, and he walks up and he's like, "Whoa, who's drinking the fancy beer?"
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, "Ooh, yeah, I don't know if that I'd put that in the fancy category, but okay, whatever." But shout out to Kenzie for bringing that to my attention.
There you go. Don't go watch that video though, because that would give them what they want.
If you have any respect for the sanctity of the bad beer rating game, you'll not humor them.
We are officially boycotting them. If you like Stains of Fits, you have to boycott the Try Guys as well.
Yeah. Anti-Try Guys podcast.
There you go. All right. My not this week are the NFL's new rules. So you saw this firsthand, I believe, unless you left before it happened, but at the Vikings game, one of their players like came off the edge and just drilled the quarterback, and it was a textbook tackle. He got him with his shoulder, you know, took him to the ground, and then he got flagged for it. And this has been pretty consistently flagged throughout the preseason too. It's like plays that have been okay in the past are now getting flagged for whatever reason, you know, and it's just not football.
Well, I think that for one, I don't think that this will carry over into the regular season maybe as much as what.
Do you think there would be right too much outrage if it did?
I don't know. I think that it's going to be an interesting first month of the NFL season. That's all. I'll put it that way. They're like changing over a lot of the refs right now.
Oh,
so
are
we've
they?
Got a lot of refs that are a little more inexperienced.
Okay.
I think the problem with this is that the players don't know, like, they don't understand the rule, you know? So there's just a lot of confusion of like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I'm sure that it'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
But like I said, to begin this, I feel like it will not maybe, I think that things will kind of come back to the mean. Will there be more flags? Probably.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that it'll be quite near as drastic as what we've seen so far.
Yeah. I mean, the targeting rule, which is going to be a big one, has kind of always just been there because targeting is a pretty subjective thing. But the new one, what they're calling the Aaron Rodgers rule, which is because the tackle that Anthony Barr had on Aaron Rodgers last year that made Rodgers break his collarbone, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that's illegal now. You can't like tackle a guy and put all your weight on him.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can't like
drive him to the ground
onto someone.
So the question is, what will they deem a tackle that is driving a quarterback into the ground versus one that's not? You know, we're gonna have to see that as we go into the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck. Like, I think that it will make an impact, but at the same time, I'm not convinced
it'll
make that big of an impact.
I can foresee at some point in this season, there's going to be a play late in the game. It's going to influence the outcome of the game where this is called one way, where it should have been called another way, and it's just going to blow up in their face. I think that's going to happen.
Fair enough. All right. Would you rather? I'm pulling these straight off of a website. I did not find any before.
Okay.
All right, my first one. Would you rather have hands that kept growing as you got older or feet that kept growing as you got older?
Oh, man. I think feet, because I think having overgrown hands would be a much bigger deal when you get to be old age, because you need your hands to be somewhat regular, like, because everything gets older or gets harder as you get older. So if your hands are like so oversized that you can't like grab regular things, well, most everything. But
okay,
you aren't going with this. Like,
if
my feet are bigger, it's not really going to influence my day-to-day life as much as not being able to do things with my hands would. So I would go with my feet.
Coming from someone who has larger than average feet, I'd probably have to, you know.
Oh, and then you know, there's
my feet are already big, so I wouldn't really make.
Like, and how big are we talking? Like, where's the average end length or width for these feet that are growing infinitely?
I don't know.
Am I gonna have 6 foot long feet when I'm dying here?
Well, yeah, it depends on like how long do your feet, how much do your feet grow in a year?
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing. Like, is it like a centimeter every year, that kind of thing?
Or are you eventually going to end up with skis for shoes, like for feet?
Yeah. In which case, that would still be awkward. But at the same time, if your hands, if you flip it and your hands were to grow at that same rate, that would be equally as bad, if not worse.
Yeah. You'd have like Mickey Mouse hands, like the gloves, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Would you rather relive the same day for 365 days or lose a year of your life?
I think I would rather relive the same day. Because I think, assuming that, okay, again, a lot of variables, but assuming if it's the same day, it's a kind of a Groundhog Day situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you can wake up and still make your own choices throughout the day. Like, the same things are going to happen, but you can still, like, do different things.
Yeah, so it almost depends on if you're aware of the fact that you're reliving the same day.
Yeah, so if you didn't have that awareness, then it's actually better just because you think it's a new day.
Yeah.
But if you are aware, then you can use knowledge of what's going to happen in your favor. And I think there's a lot more to be gained there than just completely losing a year of your life.
You can just become a new person. You can really,
I mean, like, think about it. Like, if you live the same day every year, at least you could, like, study something different every day. Like, you can learn a lot, technically, I guess.
Like I said, it depends on if you're aware or not of that you're reliving the same day.
For sure. But either way, I think I would still go with the same day every year.
That's fair.
Or every day.
If you weren't aware and it was just the same day over and over and over again, that would be kind of...
You wouldn't know better, though.
Well, that's true.
Because you wouldn't be aware.
I guess you have to be aware then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it depends on if you go into that with, like, a...
But the
problem is that I think after a period of time, like, the first, like, couple weeks, it's like, yeah, okay, this is kind of cool. But then after a while, it would get real old, dude.
And that might be fair. And the other thing is, if you're aware, but you're just watching, like, you can't change anything. Like, you see yourself do the same things every day.
Yeah.
That would be pretty tough. Because that's like watching the same 24-hour movie, you know, 365 times in a row.
Right.
So, you better, whatever, if that first day is what you decide to do, you better make sure it's good so you can relive it over and over again.
Right. It would just suck to be aware of what is happening, and by, you know, day 250, or like when you're in the dog days of this thing, 175, somewhere in that range, right in about the middle, and you know exactly what everyone's going to say to you all the time when they see you.
Yeah.
And that would be horrible.
Yeah. Because if you couldn't, like, react differently, then it would be very sucky.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about Groundhog Day for Bill Murray in that movie was, even if he died, he still came back the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Again, another variable in this scenario is if you die, do you wake up again? Or if you die, are you dead?
Yeah.
So.
I saw a movie last fall that was called, like, Happy Death Day or something like that. Mm. I saw it in theaters. I don't know.
Rings a bell, but I don't think I watched it.
But it was basically the same exact premise. It just had a girl as the main character instead of Bill Murray.
Gotcha.
It was pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
If anybody wants a wants a random movie recommendation, I suppose.
Yep.
All right, last thing. Saturday night, or afternoon, I guess. Barntown Brewing, Cyclone Fanatic kickoff party. Do you plan to taste the Cyclone Fanatic beer?
I do. I think I would be a fool not to.
Oh, well, yeah. Obviously.
We're the beer tasters around here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, true. Yeah. But this is not going to be crappy beer, though.
No. This is going to like kick off our, if our theory of doing a new beer each week to represent each team on the schedule.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, we need to.
This technically is the Cyclone beer. We started off with the Iowa State beer.
We need to get to. Yeah. So there we go. We started off on day one.
Yep.
We declare is. Is the football team going to be better, or is the beer better?
Definitely. Well,
we can do like a Periscope or something.
That's true. We could. And we're going to have to wait to see how good the beer is before we make that determination.
Right. But yeah, if we're going to do that, we need to get on the...
I'd be down for a 5-minute Periscope.
Putting that together. Well, no, I'm saying the other, like what we're going to do for the season.
Oh, yeah.
We need to start putting that together and doing some research.
We need to get the old South Dakota beer.
Someone else had a good idea on the forums, but I don't remember what their idea was or even
who
it was that said it. But yeah, 3 o'clock Saturday, Barntown Brewing, Cyclone Fanatic.
Kickoff party.
The new beer.
Firmly
entrenched IPA. Doing a program. Ben Bruns, John Walters, Jack Whitfer, Chris Williams, breaking down the Iowa State football season. And then you just get to hang out with Iowa State fans. And how can anybody ever complain about that?
A bar full, well, a brewery full of Iowa State fans. It sounds like a pretty awesome place to be.
My mom and dad will be there.
Mine as well, actually.
Crazy neighbor Scott's going to be there.
Is he?
If anybody wants to come meet him, the option will stand. I think Ted's going to be there based on what I saw. It's going to be a who's who.
Yep.
If all these celebrities are going to be there, I don't know why anyone would
Place to be this Saturday.
So we'll see you guys Saturday afternoon. Talk to you next week, dude.
Yep.
When we actually get to talk about a real football game that will take place on the following Saturday.
Actual football content will be great.
Talk to you guys next week. Peace.